Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gorick.
And we just watched season 4, episode 10, Life Turned Her That Way.
No!
No! No!
This is
worse than Doc turning vampire.
This is very concerning.
I don't know. I still think Doc turning vampire is worse. But
I feel like hopefully we can undo this.
Did she do it by
choice? She can just pop those wigs back in where they belong.
Mm-hmm. She does look super hot like that.
Oh,
though.
Hell yeah. The way her dress changed to the flowy.
So sexy. Oh, sexy demon.
It was quite the entrance for Dark Waverly.
And those dark wings.
Yeah, it's like, can we even stop here?
This was going to be our last one for the day.
We're and idiots. We should have stopped while we're ahead.
Although it's a good cliffhanger-y cliffhanger.
It's a very good cliffhanger.
Yeah, this episode had thing after thing after thing where we were like, no, Casey, no,
yeah.
Oh my god, Mercedes, no. It's just like it's like they're clearing the decks,
right?
Like,
this is like a cleared sale of Wynonna Earp. Everything must go.
Who's gonna not die? They're all dead.
And we get like an old villain and a new villain. So the old villain is Jolene coming back, which I did not expect
I thought she might. Because we knew she was, like, in the trees. She wasn't dead.
And she's pretty epic as far as, villains
and
go.
She's iconic, too.
Yes.
But our other new villain, you know, Kirsten.
Yeah, General Graham. Mm-hmm. His real name is Stafford Perry. He's an actor based in Calgary. And I went to journalism school with his wife, Meredith. And actually, they got engaged while we were in Halifax in journalism school. And we, threw a party for them and all kinds of stuff. I haven't seen either of them for years, unfortunately. But they're lovely. He's lovely. And in real life, he does not wear a beret and he's not a bad person.
It's funny because in all of these episodes, we're like, oh, I know that guy. Where do I know him from? Oh, I know that guy. Where do I know him from? And Kirsten's like, I know that guy. And Annette and I are both like, oh, what do you know him from? And
she's like, real life. It's not like what is it, Kuru Doug from the last episode,
right.
Which we figured it was from Schitt's Creek and
Covert Affairs. I recognized him from Covert Affairs.
Some
other stuff,
but not like person we know. So the Alberta connection has finally truly
landed. Uh-huh. Someone has like a direct 1 degree separation.
Right. I feel like my sister who went to theater school in Vancouver, and so whenever we watch things that are filmed in Vancouver, which there is a lot, she's like, I know that person, I went to school, blah, blah. And I was like, finally, it's my turn. Yes.
You did it. You win.
I made it. Stafford made it, but I was watching.
Good job, Stafford. And really, good job, Stafford, because
we hate him.
Super effective. And he's not, he's very clearly, he's doing his job and the thing that he thinks is right to protect humanity because they've failed every single time.
He's just got a loose
He's got a script and he's
collateral
it.
Damage.
Yeah. And humans sometimes just need to be food for,
and
for demons that are...
Wynonna do a Sophie's Choice.
Yeah.
And then she chooses neither of her children.
Because she used her street brains.
Yes, she did totally do her street brains. Mm-hmm. To Billy's detriment.
Oh.
Oh my god, yes, that was another
one. There's so much. I mean, Mercedes could still live.
That's true. She
got shot in the stomach, which is not great. But,
no, that's a bad one.
It's not a neck snapping poor Casey.
That's true. Although, I was like, well, he's a demon. Maybe he's half demon.
He can
he live with a broken neck? I don't think so after
it
probably lying there for so long.
No.
Well, and I didn't think there was any saving Billy.
And and at the end when Casey was yelling at Nicole to get out and run, we love Casey.
Yes.
We're going to miss you.
Oh, and there was another lovely self-referential, self-aware sort of thing where he said, I made you apology casserole. And she's like, what is it? You took
craft dinner with kimchi.
And weed. And kimchi, of course, for those who aren't aware, is the name of his character on Kim's Convenience. So
you should also watch that.
Schitt's Creek, Kim's Convenience. Watch them both.
Many crossovers that are great. And Jolene, she's in a whole bunch of stuff too.
Well, so. Jolene is in a show with Jan Arden, aka Bunny, and plays Jan Arden's sister. And the two of them have a great relationship. And she's so nurturing. She is married to Dave from Travelers in that show.
Oh, I love him.
Yes.
I was speaking of other shows, made in Canada.
He is also warm and lovely.
Yes.
And yeah. And so that whole show is really about the relationship of those two sisters.
Yeah.
And it's very funny. It's a very different show than Wynonna Earp. Yeah, but it's very funny.
No,
also
in
filmed
show.
In Calgary. Set in Calgary.
Mm.
I've been watching that. I think they're on their third season or so. So
yes.
I'm just feeling it was like, you're so awful, but also I love you.
She's good at playing.
She's very good at being evil.
It is. Oh, like, it's unnerving.
Intense.
And like, and of course, because I think I just watch TV a little differently since the pandemic, but when she was like right up in Waverly's face,
yeah,
like nose to nose, I was like, oh, that is very close. You were like not social distancing whatsoever.
Uncomfortable.
No.
Yep. Yeah. And I know that actress from Dark Matter, where she plays basically an android very, very, very
she's
well.
She's also in Lost Girl, which was the previous Emily Andress series, where she played Anna Silk's love interest.
So like, ooh, just really like, she's got all kinds
range.
Of range.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was very like, and I mean, she's another one that we're pretty sure is actually dead
yeah.
now this time. And
she did sound very crunched.
Yes. There was
yeah.
a lot of crunching
there was a lot of
going
crunching.
On. But like, the thing is, she died a winner.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, yeah. She got what she wanted.
Mm-hmm. She's been working toward this for so long. And she finally, you know, had her way. She doesn't get to bear witness to the destruction of the entire world, but she got to see the genesis of it, and she really caused that genesis. So, you know,
yeah.
I feel like that's what, she went out on top.
She had like, a conversation of the, these are all of the people / demons,
mm-hmm.
the blood Wynonna has shed for you to save your life.
Yep.
And the weight of that was just brutal.
Uh-huh.
Yep. The psychological warfare was intense.
And it clearly worked.
Oh, yeah.
Because
like, Jolene plays the long game.
Mm-hmm.
The very, very long game.
No baked goods this time, unfortunately, but
I'm okay with that. I don't like how she abused
the store-bought baked goods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was very, very brain twisty. Mm-hmm. Not in like a, like, you know, twist and turn plot way, but just sort of like, twist and turn in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also like a lot happened. Like they really pushed things forward
mm-hmm.
quite quickly with the fog and BBD like wanted a clean house.
Well, there was no monster of the week,
mm-mm.
light, funny story.
No.
Like the last three episodes, this was like, let's just,
we're rolling.
Get like, to it.
Drive the plot. And now it feels like we're driving that plot to the end.
Yep. Yeah, I'm a little scared.
Yep. And I liked the moment where Cleo, you know, brain smarts, good smart brain, street brain, that's what
street
it was,
brain.
That Wynonna used to choose Cleo to come out instead. That was a really smart thing because, yes, she can use the Reapers, whatever they are,
Reapers.
To follow him in. But then all of a sudden, Wynonna can see Billy. And I was, for a split second, I was like, oh, she double crossed her.
Yeah.
And then even when she said, I, you know, wrapped a strand of your hair in there, I was like, oh, she double crossed her. But no. She was actually just being really smart and more talented than she even thought she was, because she was a little surprised that she did it right. But so that Wynonna could actually see what she was following and be able to get in there.
Yeah. I was quite impressed that Cleo, I don't want to say played along, because I'm sure she has her reasons for deciding to do it, but she was trying to get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that was like a permanent thing.
Quite possibly.
Because she like distracted the Reaper. She gave him a bus full of seniors to eat.
Yep.
And she clearly wanted to get away. And so I wonder if, I don't know. I'm curious, because she was kind of planning to
revenge.
Yeah, she was talking revenge. She was going to like take up the mantle as the heir. Is it the heir or what are they calling them?
I think it was the heir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh no, maybe she's just done.
Well, maybe she recognized the fact that the fog was suddenly spreading and like going everywhere and taking over. And she was just like, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to get my revenge because everybody's going to die or forget themselves
or
rip off their faces. So she was just trying to get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
Billy followed her, which she did not seem very
No, very she was happy not about. Pleased.
Mm-hmm. So when the chance came for Wynonna to help get her out, she was probably like, well, you know, Wynonna is a mover and a shaker, whether or not you like her.
It's true. And she was trapped otherwise. Mm-hmm.
She gets stuff done. And possibly Wynonna has the potential, being the Earp heir, to defeat the fog, save things. You know, basically, you're not the magistrate of anything if
this is true.
If purgatory is just completely covered by fog, mm-hmm. and it's gone. Whereas if the fog goes away and the city or the town is back, then Cleo has a chance to get her revenge eventually and come out mm-hmm. on top. Otherwise, there's no revenge to be had.
Waverly was controlling the fog, it seemed.
That's what it seemed
it's
like.
It's true.
And now we have Dark Angel, Fallen Angel, Waverly, and we still haven't seen Eve, which I still think was the implication.
Yeah.
At the end of episode six.
We also now know for sure that it was Waverly's own book. I don't remember if we knew that.
Right. Yeah, we didn't know whose book she took.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's blank. And it be blank now?
I like the I like her logic that everybody else is a part of her story. Although, you know, you could use that logic the other way. She's a part of everybody else's story too. Yes. But you know, she chose her own. So I wonder if that book will somehow end up being tied to her salvation and getting her out of this state.
Just merely be a demon that controls herself, or can that be vanquished or removed, or will she find her angelic self again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're an angel that can become a demon, why wouldn't it be able to be the other way? Like,
well,
has nobody tried?
Lucifer, and he can find his good demon.
He went back and forth. I know, actually, that was the thing that I thought of when her wings popped out. Well, at first, you see the black feather being plucked out of her skin. Gross. And I was like, ew. And I understood what Jolene was going for. Like, you know, she wants the wings to come out and she's excited that it's black at that point already. Mm-hmm. But then when Waverly's wings pop out and they're gorgeous and they're dark, I was thinking, well, it doesn't have quite the same effect on me anymore because I watched Lucifer, and like the entirety of the show, Amenadiel, who is a very, very good angel, he has dark wings from the very beginning. So and like, it's not a big deal.
Lucifer has white wings.
Yep.
Yes.
And he's the devil. So anyway, that's yet another show that you should watch. That was
not Canadian, but we'll still let you watch it.
It was shot partially in Vancouver. So yes, it's not set there. But
our hands are everywhere. Mm-hmm. Our actors are everywhere.
They are. So yeah, I am super excited. I will explain the reason that I'm not as upset about Dark Waverly as I am about Vampire Doc, and it's because he made the choice, and I thought it was a stupid choice.
It was a stupid choice.
Yes. It was like I kind of understood the reasoning, but it just didn't quite ring true for me at the
time.
It
lacked faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not reversible, whereas I feel like what's happened to Waverly is mm-hmm. could be.
Right.
Could
and
be.
Waverly was, she was pushed toward it, and you know,
tortured even.
Who has not had a really rough time in their life, especially now, and just be, you know, sort of pushed to the edge and a place that you never thought you had been before. Like, yeah, dark things, dark times. I understand that. I understand being pushed to it, and I didn't understand making Doc's choice the way that he made it. I still get angry about it because it just doesn't quite seem.
Yeah,
right.
I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, if you think about the context of us, this story being filmed and probably written in the midst of a pandemic and a general global malaise and sadness and frustration and trauma, global trauma.
Yep.
But I mean, I think too, you're really seeing that it opens with Wynonna getting up, get the gun, shoot, get up, get the gun, shoot, drink, and having an intervention. And it's just like that so much is about her trauma and how she deals with it is to continue her mission. But you can see her, it's mundane, it's routine, it's not, her heart is not in it. It's just like, it is that trap we were talking about last time.
And
it's so sad.
And it was an interesting touch too, that sort of married with all the hash marks on the wall, because we see her, you know, and she's in a different outfit every day. And we
shooting
see
a different demon.
A lot of midriff. But yes, it's a different demon every day. And the first three or four or whatever are like really angry looking, like they look like they're about to attack her. And then the last one, which you actually see twice in two different shots, mm-hmm. is just a guy who's just like, I mean, probably Damon, but he's just sort of standing there and he doesn't look like he's angry. He doesn't look like he's about to attack her. He's kind of doing the thing with his hands like, no, please, I surrender. Don't hurt me. And, you know, you see her raise the gun and then it cuts back to like him later. So that one has, I think, like a little bit of an extra oomph to it in the way that the director put that one in there. And I feel like, I don't know if that's an innocent person or if that's a demon that probably didn't need to be killed, but it seemed like, especially since it was so late in that montage, that it was just like a, oh, that's an uncomfortable one. That's one that maybe didn't need to happen and was happening simply because she was getting blackout drunk and just doing the same thing and just she was on autopilot.
Yeah, chosen one.
Well, and that line from Jolene about Waverly, you're just, you know, she's out killing, she's out doing this, and in the meantime, you're in bed giggling with Nicole, and it's like you have not had her back, and that's not really wrong, right? It's like you have been moving on, you've been focused on being happy and finding your happily ever after, and Wynonna is like stuck in this spot where she feels like she's the only one who's trying to save the town anymore while everyone's moving on or forgetting about it. And
and not recognizing that Wynonna is, in her mind, trying to do what's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like she's feeling misunderstood again.
And the way that she, Waverly, goes about trying to help is she and Nicole just like steals the gun and then tries to stage an intervention. Yep. That's, you know, maybe not the best way to reach your sister in the state that she's in. Maybe you should be trying to help her, like literally help her do her job in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're... not. Maybe I'm thinking too much like Jolene. I don't know.
And like she thinks that everything would be okay. You don't need to kill the demons anymore. Our job is done. Mm-hmm, and it's really from a different perspective.
Yep.
You're seeing the threat differently.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of like so many things today.
It's also the conversation that Waverly had with Doc about being the temptation to sit on the throne and how it took away all of her worries and cares and stuff. And Doc's like, that sounds like hell. And she's like, no, it was like heaven. Is that what it's like to be an angel?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Jolene later on saying, you know, you didn't even care enough to sit on the throne and stop all that. It's like, well, that's not entirely fair, Jolene, because she was going to do it. She just got, you know, pulled away at the last second. And, you know, she ended up not having to because Wynonna did kill Bolshar and they did get out of the garden. Although things have not been great since
then. It's not been a smooth ride since then.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
No, it has not.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I can't believe they shot Mercedes. Sorry.
I'm so mad
about that. That's
I was like,
worse.
They're
going to
tase
Casey.
Her. And then, no, they just shot her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so like, just shot her.
No, like, and we've been waiting for her to show back up.
Oh, I just love her.
And then she appears in this amazing way. Like, I mean, hiding in those vents, which is ridiculous because, like, those poofy sleeves and everything.
I know. She, like, comes out completely unrumpled and just looking
and
gorgeous
clean,
after, like, holding up an event.
She's Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she's totally still Mercedes in that, you know, she's gesticulating when she's supposed to be holding the mirror straight for Jeremy.
I love that touch.
And then, like, talking about her custodian friend at the stage apartment.
Oh man,
I love it.
And then boom. Yeah, that was effective storytelling right there.
Yes.
I didn't expect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her line too about what demon would have cans like me. And then they all pause and they go, Kate.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Accurate.
Everybody agrees. Yep. Including Mercedes. She's like, oh yeah. Yeah.
But that little bit of comic relief, like,
yes.
That's what they're so good at. Yep. Even in such an intense, dramatic, murderous episode, they still can make you laugh.
Yep.
Yeah.
What a good show. Yep.
Now we have a big decision to make.
I know.
Because if we go one more,
we
have to go two more.
Yeah, there's no watching one more episode. That would be ridiculous. So do we have two more in it? Like, I'm emotionally exhausted, but I also want to find out what's going to happen next.
Because we don't know when we'll have time.
We don't
know,
and like we can know. We just have to push the button. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part. Like if we had to wait a week, I'd be like, oh, okay, we don't have to wait a week.
I know, but it could be like a month before we get around.
I know,
or
that's
two.
The thing. Damn pandemic.
Yes.
Be like Jolene trapped in the cabin with the fog.
Right.
We should just not leave the cabin, guys.
Well, we could just stay in the cabin right now.
We'll just stay. We'll bake some cupcakes.
The cabin and being ejected into the fog. Nicole is off there, out there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah, she got kicked out
and
somewhere.
She didn't even know where, which I thought was an interesting touch because I feel like she probably knows that area quite well.
And her radio's died. And
didn't Winona get pushed out in the same area?
It's unclear.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Because it sounded like Nicole got kicked out like out into the safe air.
She said ejected, I think.
Yeah. Whereas like Winona was still fighting in the fog until presumably Waverly moved the border.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what it looked like.
Another question.
Yeah. It will be very interesting to see what happens when Nicole confronts Dark Waverly.
Oh yeah.
Like how is that gonna work out?
And maybe that's their saving grace's love.
I mean, in the end, I hope so. Like that seems like the kind of thing that would work on this show for sure.
Absolutely.
I just wanna say I've really been successfully unspoiled because all of this all of the stuffs has been surprising.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Like if we wait longer, that's more chances for spoilers. And I'm gonna be at a science fiction convention next week.
Yeah.
So dangerous territory. Dear. So anyway, I mean, we're not going to promise that we are or are not going to do another episode
we
right after this. So, you know, there's probably people like, you know, a year down the road listening to the whole thing and they're like, they don't care.
Hello, future listeners.
In this moment, we care.
I care. All right. Well, any other things that you want to say or wail about before we sign off here? Because I feel like there's a lot of whale-worthy moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to kick Jeremy and Doc out of the feeding cell.
No food.
Don't love that.
I do
that.
Think the two of them together, though, is better than one of them alone.
That's
true. And Doc, like, as much as I hate him being a vampire, seeing him, like, hulk out a couple times, mind that.
That was all right, especially because it was every time it was in reaction to some terrible injustice or somebody he cared about being hurt. So, yeah, that works for me. The vampire thing might not, but the way he's using it.
I mean, the gold shiny teeth, I like roll my eyes at
every time.
I'm like, why? Why did they have to be shiny gold? Like, why do you look like a gangster from the 1980s? I don't know.
As in this world, vamps are super gangsta.
Yes.
I don't know. Doc.
All right.
All right. Well, until next time, whenever that may be.
Lights out, bitch.